Number one, why did you do this? Number two, what has been the impact of doing this?
Is that it? Just two questions?
I'll start with that.
Okay.
And then we can go from there.
Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode.
Let's go.
So Corey Beth, you did a thing. You gave up coffee.
I did. I skirted around this decision for like 14 months and here we are.
Here we are. So I think myself and everybody listening might be a little curious as to the answer to a couple of different questions. Number one, why did you do this? Number two, what has been the impact of doing this?
Is that it? Just two questions?
I'll start with that.
Okay.
And then we can go from there.
Okay. The why. Why did I do this? You know, giving up coffee is something that I considered for a while. I think that I fell into such a ritual. It wasn't even a routine. It was a ritual of I would go to bed at night looking forward to getting up and having that first sip of coffee. And I think the way that I think, or the way my brain works, is could I live without that thing? And having overcome sweets and ice cream and chocolate cravings and animal crackers and all the things we've discussed here, it's like I've learned how to live without sweet cravings and all those things. Then it was watching you about a year ago give up coffee for 30 days. And I watched how much easier it was for you to go to bed at night and get up in the morning. And you were like, I feel like my sleep patterns are improved. Those were like seeds that kind of got planted in my mind where I was like, huh, could I actually do this? And listen, you know, I take great pride in my coffee. I asked for a coffee maker for my birthday. The next year I asked for a frother. I don't ask for big things. I just wanted my coffee to be amazing. And it has been. And I think reading some of the studies or reports on mold in coffee or, you know, herbicides, pesticides, I'm like, huh, if I do this hard thing of giving up coffee that I've been drinking for over 20 years, every single morning religiously, am I going to have more energy? Am I going to feel exponentially better? Like, is this going to change the way that my life runs? And so that was really the why behind why I wanted to approach this and actually give it a shot. And I think actually what I know is in 2023, deciding to give up all vegetables and go carnivore with you, realizing like, whoa, I could do that hard thing. All of a sudden this dance around coffee, like, can I give it up? I don't know if I can, I don't know if I'm prepared. I was like, well, obviously if I could do that, I could do this.
What I really think is interesting in all of this is the approach to doing the hard thing. And you touched on something that I think should be highlighted. And that is the fact that you have not looked at doing these hard things, whether it was giving up vegetables, whether it was coffee or sugar. You didn't look at them long term and say, well, now I got to give this up for the rest of my life. It was that small step of saying, I'm going to give this up for 30 days and let me see how that first 30 days goes. And I think that's the entry point for a lot of people who ultimately wind up having a lot of success giving up any particular habit or substance that they're consuming is just taking that small step of focusing on the first 30 days and saying to yourself, I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm just going to see what it's like for the next 30 days. And it really makes it bite-sized, which I think is awesome. I love that there is also not this overwhelming commitment to, I am going to completely upend my life. What is everybody going to think of this decision that I've made? And how is that going to impact me? And, you know, it is a little laughable, but this is what we think about. You know, your girlfriend's asking you out for coffee. And it's like,
it's
well,
an awkward.
I don't drink coffee anymore. It's
oh
like,
my
oh,
gosh.
Great. We're, you know, what else is she not doing now?
It's that awkward conversation. I mean, it used to be like, I don't eat gluten. They're like, oh gosh, okay, we got to find a gluten-free place. Then it was, I only eat meat. They're like, okay, we got to like figure this out. And that actually was easier, I think, than anything else. And now, yes, when my bestie was like, we should grab coffee, I was like, you know, like screeching to a halt, breaks, like, it's like, So I gave up coffee, you know, but again, it's not such a big deal. And I really want to point out the giving up thing, because I think people are going to hear this and be like, okay, you gave up sugar, you gave up vegetables, you gave up coffee. And that's actually not what I did. With sugar, I swapped out things that I was addicted to for things that were actually fueling my body. With going more like carnivore, ketovore, it was giving up or like releasing something that was causing bloating, inflammation, and dis-ease, not disease, but dis-ease in my body, and actually choosing something that served me in a much better way. And then here, it was not about like, I got to give up this whole thing where I have something warm and cozy in the morning. I've been drinking tea. And I think it's important to answer your second question, which is, what is the impact that this has had? But also, it was in my mindset, I'm just swapping out one thing for another. And I think that if we do that in a healthful way, it makes that 30 days very simple, as opposed to saying, I'm giving this up. Because then I think as humans, we begin to feel deprived of that thing, and it makes us not want to do it, where I still had something warm and cozy every morning.
Before you go into what the impact has been on you, I just want to highlight something, which is how information can change our decisions or our perceptions around things. Because in all of these circumstances that you're describing, a lot of the lead-in was finding new information about something and it giving you pause and thinking, well, how might that thing be impacting me? So in the case of gluten, it's learning for the first time that, oh my gosh, wheat is one of the major causes of gut discomfort. It's a major cause of bloating. It may be the reason why I'm struggling with XYZ. And so once we learn that, it makes it easier to take that step of eliminating gluten or whatever it is for those 30 days. In the case of coffee, I know you had said it was learning a little bit about mold and pesticides on the beans, and that made it an easier decision. So before you touch into the impact, I mean, just kind of walk us through your learning process and how that influences some of these decisions.
Yeah, well, it completely influences the decisions, because if someone said to me, give up coffee, I'd be like, no. But if I have to consider, hey, could this thing make me better? Could this thing optimize the way that I feel? I think for me, it goes back to that terrible time that I call the black year of like 2011. Where I was the victim of physical assault by another woman. I had my head cracked open, ended up in the hospital. Mike, you and my dad like literally flew to that town a couple hours away to be at my side and bring me home. And for me, like I think about Brendan Burchard being in a car accident. And that really was like, did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? Like those questions he asked himself. And for me, laying at home with post-concussive syndrome in bed, not being able to go to work, it was like, I want to be the strongest version of myself always. And when I receive information, and I just want to address, you said wheat causes this. It's actually not the wheat. It's the glyphosate that is sprayed on the wheat. And that actually, it's Roundup, guys. That's the cause of all of this discomfort. It's when we get information like, huh, it goes back to me for that pivotal moment of how can I optimize myself, where if I'm learning, hey, there's this chemical that's on my food that's causing me to feel this way, that's preventing me from being the strongest version of myself, I have no problem exploring, you know, making a swap or cutting it out. When it came to understanding that vegetables can cause lots of bloating, gas, discomfort, inflammation, a couple of new articles have recently come out on that, which I think we should cover in a different episode. But I'm like, huh, it's almost like mainstream is starting to catch on a little bit to this overuse of vegetables, and maybe they're not the best thing for us. And so when I got that information, I was like, okay, I'm willing to explore this because it's going to help me become the strongest version of myself. And then the same thing with the coffee. I'm like, could that be making me tired? Could that be clouding my mental focus? Could that be just impacting my immune system in a way that I don't want? And huh, if I remove that, maybe I could become a stronger version of myself. So I think for me, a lot of it ties back to that time and that season where when I get new information, I always go back and reconsider that question. I don't know if that answers your question, but that for me is how my brain works.
It definitely answers the question. And it just makes me also think of the statement that we've all heard probably millions of times, which is ignorance is bliss. And
it totally is.
And how many times would we rather not know just so that we can keep engaging in the behavior or the substance that we just so enjoy and don't want to give up. And it's just funny to me because you could have quite easily just ignored the information or not sought out the information. And if you don't know, then it can't harm you. Now, it's interesting because I also have happened upon some of the same information that you have around pesticides and everything, the coverage on coffee. And yet, even though I did give it up for a month last year, I eventually went back to it. For me, it was determining that balance between how much I'm having, where is this coming from, and what is going to be the impact if I don't ever have it again. And for me personally, it was, okay, I understand that maybe not all coffee is great and that there could be these issues. But I also look at the other side of it where there is evidence that there are particular benefits to it. And more particularly, those benefits are tied to caffeine and not coffee itself. I could just as easily wake up in the morning and probably pop two caffeine tablets and do just as well, if not better, than actually consuming the cup of coffee. But for me, those 30 days led to a dramatic reduction in how much coffee I was drinking, and then setting forth some hard, fast rules about when I stop my coffee consumption in the day. And, you know, it certainly taking that step and doing those 30 days really made me reassess a lot of things. And I think it put me in a place where now I can enjoy that coffee, but in a more moderated fashion.
Yeah. Listen, I think that there's benefit to all of this. And, you know, you as the viewer listening, you're like, I'm not giving up coffee. That's fine, right? Nobody's sitting here telling you that you have to give up coffee or you should give up coffee for that matter. But I think the message that I would love for you guys to take away is that you can do hard things. And I think that hard things change us. They transform us. And it doesn't mean that we have to continue to do that hard thing for the rest of our lives. But just by function of doing it, I think it changes a piece of us. And for you, giving up coffee for 30 days helped you to cut back on your consumption because, let's be honest, it had kind of gotten out of control. I mean, we were drinking like a pot a day between the two of us. You know, for me, I don't know where it's leading yet. I'm 30 days in right now. I'm really enjoying caffeine-free tea, but we'll get to the caffeine thing in just a second because, yes, there is benefit to it. You pointed that out to me and I'm like, huh, maybe there's something here. Right now, I'm happy sitting where I am. Let's go then into some of the impact that I've noticed for myself. Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. Giving up my potentially herbicide, pesticide, mold-filled coffee, did it dramatically improve my energy? No. In fact, I think I'm not as energized as I was. I kind of look back and maybe there was like a joy or giddiness to me that I don't feel those high highs anymore. But the crazy thing is because I don't have and experience those high highs, I also have not gone into the low lows, which I don't know if you've noticed that. And that's been very interesting just to analyze about yourself. I think in my body, I feel very calm, but no major changes have I noticed about myself. I will say two things. The first is that I've noticed less like digestive movement in the morning, if you will. And so I'm like, oh, wow, coffee was really helping to perpetuate bowel movements. That's kind of interesting, you know, still happening on a regular basis, but just not as immediate in the morning. The most profound thing, though, our sons said, and it was our 9-year-old, was like, Mom, you've been nicer. And I'm like, okay, is that him just like being biased? Mike's smiling right now because he will say things like that. He says some messed up things like, Mom, you look better without makeup on. I don't know why you put that on your face, you know? But for him saying you are calmer or you're nicer to us not having caffeine, I think probably I would attribute it that to me not be feeling as frantic. Like I would say that there were moments during the day that I would feel frantic to get work done, to complete a task, to get them out the door. I think because I feel calmer inside. And I don't know if that's just a function of having less caffeine or no caffeine, but how would you analyze that?
I could say that from my own experience, I do relate to what you were talking about with respect to the level-headedness. Not as many ups and downs. There's a certain calm that comes over you. And I think that there is a lot of benefit. And that this is also the reason why for some people who do deal with a lot of anxiety issues, one of the main suggestions is that they get off caffeine. They get off of all types of stimulants because, well, it can push you in the wrong direction or at least push you to the extreme. Whereas without that there is a little bit more balance, if you will, in terms of feelings of anxiety. And I did experience having that levelness. That's the best I could describe it, that levelness throughout the day, where there were not too many highs, there were not many lows. And by function, that's how I am anyway. I don't have, you know, I'm not, and
you're not me.
Definitely not you. I mean, I don't go to the heights and then the depths by any means. I'm not a mountaintop then a valley type person. It's always kind of a level plane that I'm walking.
Let me just actually throw into one other benefit with sleep. And I think that you noticed that too. It's once 8:30 rolls around, I'm literally like, I'm good to head to bed. And that's crazy. I mean, again, as like a 2 to 4 a.m. or bedtime, we were able to like really move that back. I was going to bed by like 9:30, 10. It's so interesting. 8:30, I'm like, I think I'm good. And that's been the biggest change that I've personally noticed. And then in the morning.
Maybe that's why you're nicer.
Holy cow, I'm getting more sleep. That's actually pretty crazy. Wow. Well, and then in the morning, I don't feel like I need to snooze a million times. You know, it's, I feel better getting up. Like I'll consciously do like 1 or 2. I'll get my neck pillow out and lay on that for like those 10 minutes that I'm snoozing. But I'm awake. I'm awake and I'm aware. And I don't normally feel like that. I feel groggy in the morning.
It's for that same reason, the improved sleep, improved circadian rhythm, if you will, that I decided to stop drinking coffee after 12 p.m., recognizing that the science on it is actually pretty solid, that consuming caffeine after 12 p.m. really does affect our sleep, and not in the sense that people often think. I was one of those people who could have a cup of coffee or even a double espresso and then go to bed. It's not an issue of can you go to sleep? It's the quality of that sleep. Are there disruptions in your sleep? And oftentimes we would not notice this disruption because we're sleeping, but there is something to be said for, again, the depth of restfulness that you're actually achieving. And because of the hard science, I mean, that's what turned me ultimately to say, you know what, I should at least make sure that I'm not consuming caffeine beyond this particular time of day. And maybe I need to do a better job of limiting how much caffeine I'm having even up to that point, which, if we're being totally transparent here, lately I've seen that amount slowly start to creep back up. And I am taking mental note because I do enjoy getting restful sleep. I do enjoy being able to be in a good rhythm with respect to the way I get up and then the way that I go to sleep at night.
Well, I think if we're actually being honest, it's that we all lie to ourselves. I mean, don't you remember your parents when you were young? They're like, oh, it's 3 o'clock. I can only have decaf from here on out. And I remember in my 20s being like, that's so stupid. Like I drink espresso martinis at night and like I can go to bed, or I can drink a cup of coffee or an espresso or cappuccino at night and like I can go to bed. But looking back now, I'm like, huh, was that interfering with the restfulness of my sleep? You know, was that actually interfering with it? Because I think a lot of people listening are like, that's not me. And listen, I said the same thing too. I'm like, that's not me. That'll never be me. I'll always be able to have coffee until midnight and then go to bed the next minute later. But I think that there's other impacts that maybe we don't see as apparently or clearly, that maybe when we step away from it for a period of time, we come back, we're like, oh, was that impacting me? And I would say I sit in that seat where I'm a little bit humbled by some of the things I used to say.
I think the other point to bring up here too, and this is important, especially for those who are listening, who are saying, well, there's no way I'm going down this road and giving up coffee. There is something to the saying, the dose is the poison. And I said earlier that we know there are benefits to caffeine, just like we know that there's benefits to a lot of things out there. But in the same regard, we know having too much of a good thing sometimes is not a good thing. And caffeine, and particularly coffee, is certainly one of those things where having too much of it can become problematic, whereas having small doses of it can actually be very beneficial. And once again, I go to the science, and the science is very clear on that. There's been many studies done around dosages and showing that beyond a certain amount, yes, this can become a poison, whereas small amounts of it can actually help benefit our performance. And I just think about caffeine in general for some of us as being that thing that helps get the machine started. And I just think it's interesting that you say, you know, maybe I'm nicer because I'm not having this caffeine, or I feel more level. Well, I can promise everybody out there that I am not as nice if I don't have caffeine. And I know some of my people out there are like, amen, brother. I'm with you. There is no way, you know, I'm the guy who has that coffee mug that says, don't talk to me before 11 a.m. And there's a reason for it. Because for some of us, we really do need to get the machinery started. And maybe for you or those with your personality type, because you can go high, high, you can wake up and have a conversation and just go right into the day where, again, there's others of us who feel like we need a little bit more of a kickstart to get the thing rolling.
Yeah. Where are my Myers-Briggs people at? Who shares my personality type? Yeah. I mean, are you I? Are you introverted? Or are you E? Do you know?
What? For on Myers-Briggs?
Yeah.
I didn't do that one. I did DISC.
Okay. I'm super E. So like super extroverted. So perhaps. I mean, maybe there's something there. Here's what I think. What I think is this. You will not know anything about yourself until you try the thing with yourself. You know, I think, Mike, you said this to me yesterday. Self-experimentation is so beneficial because we then can actually talk on that topic. We have to go through it. We have to experience it so that we can have an opinion or expertise to share. And then, of course, you know, gathering information. I think also in that gathering of information, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate on myself here and share a video that I saw in my caffeine research that was a spider that had formed a perfect spider web. We've all seen that before. And in this particular study, the researchers had given a second group, the experimental group of spiders, caffeine. And then they showed the spider webs, these spiders webbed. Is that a word? They spun.
Spun.
You don't web a web, you spin a web. But they were completely incomplete webs. They were like missing pieces, missing strands. The center was a gigantic hole and then the outside was. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these spiders became like ADHD by having the caffeine. And so I brought this study to Mike. I'm like, check this out. Like, what's your opinion on this? To which you said,
this is dumb. This is dumb because number one, we're talking about spiders. We're not talking about humans. And how many spiders are waking up in the morning right now, sipping on a little bit of coffee and then going and spinning webs? Zero. So you give an insect, right?
Is arachnid.
Arachnid. Of course, your nerdiness would come out right now. You give this arachnid something that it's never had before. And of course, the response is going to be over the top. And this is what drives me nuts sometimes about studies, because things like this are not studies. Things like this are used as propaganda. And that's exactly what I see in circumstances like this. Like, look at what this caffeine did to this spider. It's like, excuse me for this example, but it would be like giving an adolescent a line of cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there's going to be, you know, a major disruption in that little human's physiology. They're not going to know how to respond. They may even, exact opposite of what we think would happen, right? We think they'd be bouncing off the walls. No, they may actually just not move at all because they don't know what to do with all of this pent up energy.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Like, you always have to take these things with a grain of salt. And that's why, headlines about spider given caffeine, can't spin web. Like, come on.
Well, I thought I appreciated your feedback, which is why obviously, you know, I asked you. Because I'm like, well, what is your opinion on this? And he's like, spiders don't drink coffee. They don't have caffeine. So of course, by giving them this drug, it's going to make them do something zany and wild that would be unpredictable for a spider.
Uncharacteristic.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was like, okay, that totally makes sense. But for me, who's used to that stimulant for 22 years, now removing it, I was more intrigued of what would happen. And honestly, it's not as much as I thought, but I am enjoying getting better sleep.
And listen, that may be enough to either not go back to coffee ever again, or to eventually go back and cut down your consumption. I mean, I think the most important thing is in taking these steps to doing hard things, to challenging ourselves, right? We're challenging our mind, we're challenging our bodies, we're creating a new reference point for ourselves that we are capable of doing this hard thing. We do need to also assess, hey, what was the impact? And how much of that is worth me changing this behavior? And once we recognize that, then I believe, you know, that period of time served its purpose. So whatever the ultimate outcome is, whether or not somebody goes back to that behavior or completely leaves it alone or just reduces it, you know, you're not going to know unless you take that first step.
Yeah. And I just want to close with, I think that it's important to have an ultimate objective for our lives. And I think that most people probably don't. It's why I used to love doing, you know, vision board parties and vision board casting with clients. It's because if you don't actually take time with yourself, you have a meeting with yourself. That's like ME, meeting with yourself. It's how are you going to know what it is that you want? You know, for me, I was forced into laying in bed for weeks on end with a head injury that I started to consider these things. But I'll be honest, had that not happened, I'm not sure that I would have arrived upon that objective for myself and for my life and have it be a reoccurring question that I would constantly refer back to and wonder. So take time for yourself. You know, if you're like, okay, I'm not ready to do that hard thing, or like Mike said, I'm definitely not giving up coffee. Consider for yourself, what is the objective that you're trying to achieve in your life? Do you want to be the happiest version of yourself, the most energized version, the most active? Like, what is it that you want out of your life? And I think that when we have that reflection question to go back to, it helps to guide these decisions in our lives.
And maybe the first action, if you are considering it, but you really are unsure, is to just go and research, to just go and get some information. I mean, if it's something where you're sitting back saying, hey, I'm considering doing this, but I'm not sure I'm there, then maybe the first thing to do is go to Google and start typing in, you know, some search terms around that thing. And now you start to at least gather some information. And of course, you know, Google could be the Wild West. You're going to get some good information, some bad, some propaganda, and it's not always easy to disseminate what is what. But I think that only if we start to try to educate ourselves around it will it actually move us to the action of doing the thing. So yes, sometimes you have to, you know, type in the negatives of consuming XYZ to get some of that information, but hey, maybe it's what you need to just take that first step. And then you might learn in the process that what you read was completely wrong. Yeah. You know, but as I said to you, I think that self-experimentation is the best form of experimentation. We are all an N equal one experiment at the end of the day. We have to determine what best suits us, what best suits our bodies, our lifestyle, and ultimately arrive where we want to arrive.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose. This is dumb.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Say it again.